we've done the job we had required. Alexander Isak off the mark. Big moment for him. Great finish for the opening goal at the Anfield Road end. Freddie Woodman. Woodman, for me, deserves the Carlsberg Man of the Match award at the end of this, because he made some big saves in that first half. And the reason I say that, it's a massive save from a Mateta header. Within 30 seconds of that save, almost, Liverpool break. Fiat's to Curtis Jones. He feeds Andy Robertson. Great drill finish by Robbo into the back of the net. The only blemish, Mo Salah going off with a hamstring strain. Hopefully that's not serious. Then a huge controversial moment. Andy Madlian, once in each half, had blown for a Palace player, not a head injury, going down on the edge of his box from a Liverpool counter-attack. Twice the ref had blown up for a free kick. Woodman, great save from Mateta. He's down injured. Munoz lobs it in. The Liverpool fans aren't happy, but Florian Wirtz makes sure right at the end. Liverpool 3, Crystal Palace 1.
Another big 3 points for Liverpool, who take another step towards Champions League qualification for next season. In this episode of The Reaction, we'll hear from Arne Slot as well as goalscorers Alexander Isak and Florian Wirtz. First, though, to pitchside analysis from former Red Jason McAteer and current LFC women player Gemma Bonner, who joined myself, Becky Davis, after full time. Gemma, it was a game that felt reasonably comfortable starting the second half. It felt a lot less comfortable towards the end of the game until Flo gets that goal, but overall the points are ours and we did deserve that.
Yeah, I think definitely they started off really well. I think the first half we were very much in control. I think there was probably always going to be an element when the game opened up, it probably suited Palace a little bit more than Liverpool. I think a couple of changes, a couple of stoppages probably disrupted the control that Liverpool did have. A little bit nervy. Obviously, there was moments at both ends, but I think in the end, definitely, it was a deserved 3 points for Liverpool.
Yeah, you could feel Anfield collectively breathe a huge sigh of relief, I think, when Florian Wirtz scores in the 96th or 97th minute, I think it
was,
Jace.
Because I agree.
It's a bit nail-biting before that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's important to give a balanced reflection of the game, and listening to John's summary there, he said a draw, and I think that would have been slightly disappointing, but it wasn't a great performance. It lacked a bit of cohesion at times. It was a bit open at times. We did give Palace maybe too much respect, and they created numerous opportunities, certainly in the second half, and it did become nervy. And the Wirtz goal right at the end, settled everything down and we took the points. But do you know what? At this stage of the season, the importance of the game, getting that gap as well, I think I'd go points over performance. I'd like a bit of a swashbuckling performance, a dominant possession-based creative performance. But sometimes you don't always get what you want. And today, it wasn't the performance, it was about the points.
Yeah, the players coming off their tough scenes in terms of the heat, Gem, that they had today. It was over 20 degrees out there at one point. But all the talk, let's get straight to it, will be of Crystal Palace's goal. They choose to play on. Despite the injury to Freddie Woodman, the players in the whole of Anfield, I think, up in arms at the fact that the game wasn't stopped. What was your take?
Yeah, I think obviously when the goalkeeper goes down, it's a huge disadvantage for the team. I think he's come out, he's made a brilliant save, and I think in the motion of doing that, it's clear that he's really hurt his knee. And I think obviously the Liverpool players are very frustrated. Obviously play's carried on, and Crystal Palace have played to the whistle. They've carried on playing. I think probably in any situation you have to say, you have to play to the whistle as players. Obviously sportsmanship comes into it in terms of there is a goalkeeper injured, but I think, it's unfortunate for Liverpool, and I think that really probably riled the players up a little bit in terms of how they acted towards that. But I do think it did affect kind of the moment in the game.
Yeah, by the rules of the game, they did nothing wrong, Jace. By the spirit of the game, maybe they did.
Yeah, first and foremost, it's glad that Freddie's up and about and he carried on the game, and there was no harm done. When he did go down, we feared the worst, didn't we? We had the screens, didn't we? And we feared the worst, the way he planted his leg and his knee, and then obviously the impact of the ball and stuff, and we didn't quite know. But he was up and about. But we've seen it in the past, haven't he? I mean, I was involved in a controversial moment where Robbie Fowler jumps over David Seaman at Arsenal. The referee gives a penalty. Robbie gets up and says it's not a penalty. He didn't touch me. The referee, I think it was Gerald Ashby, he gives the penalty and it's saved. And I end up putting the the goal. It was my first Premier League goal. So I'm, you know, for this sportsman thing, I'm not
maybe
for
you're the
it.
Wrong person too.
Yeah, but then obviously the most famous was obviously against Everton, wasn't it? It was Gerrard, the keeper, and Paolo Di Canio. He gets injured, goes down, Di Canio catches it, and it kind of like maybe set a trend on how we should see sportsmanship. But in Muniz's defence today, I don't think he was aware of what was going on. For him, it's an instinctive...
I think the area of the pitch it happens in, if that happens higher up, the ball's probably just going off the pitch. But I think the area of it, you're not actually probably paying attention to what's going around. The ball's come to him and he's, you know, I mean, it's a great finish.
It is a great finish to credit him. But as you say, I suppose it is that instinctive nature as a player that you are just going to do that. But you can also understand why the entire stadium's up in arms at what they've just seen.
I get it as well, and maybe had we been, let's say we were 4-0 up and he puts it in, I don't think there would have been as much commotion about it. I think because it was 2-0, then it goes 2-1, and then I think he gets nervous then, doesn't it? And we know the importance of what we needed today. So, you know, it all played into the narrative of what happened, but I'm with Gemma there. I don't think he really knew what was going on. I don't think he's certainly not focusing on what Freddie Woodman's done. He might have even seen the arm go up. He mightn't have seen any kind of reaction from Woodman. And it's a fantastic finish. He had a lot of work to do. It was just one of them moments. But then it obviously will go onto the bench. And they have got the ability to say, right, well, go on then, put the ball let's give him a 2-0 lead again. And you can go down our end and score and level it up. But they didn't want to do that. And they're in their rights to do it. And it's how you take it and your interpretation.
I suppose it's all okay because it finishes 3-1 and it doesn't really matter. No. If we were sat here analysing a 2-2, we might feel a little bit differently about it, Jeff.
Yeah, I think I remember saying in the first half, it's a good job we kind of got that second goal just because they were starting to come back into it, and it gives you that, I mean, it's still a vulnerable scoreline, but I think it still gives you that little bit of cushion, and I think that was almost kind of something out of nothing. That chance, I think the whole stadium was kind of quiet. No one quite knew if the goal was going to be given or not. I don't think you'd even realise they'd scored.
No, I didn't even realise they scored. But in all seriousness, and I said at the top of the show, let's give a balanced argument. Liverpool gave Crystal Palace far too many chances, and I said to you, Gem, didn't I? There's a goal in here for Palace. We really need to like concentrate. We need to start thinking. We need to start getting back on it defensively. Otherwise, you know, we're going to get punished. And you just felt they were in the ascendancy, weren't they? They were looking, obviously, to get back in the game, but Liverpool were helping them. There was gaps all over the pitch. They were far too open, and they give them far too many opportunities.
We spoke about the injury to Freddie Woodman. Proves himself to be a battler because he gets up and carries on. But let's just speak about his overall display, Jem, because he played a big role in the second goal, which we'll speak about in a moment. But just in terms of his entire performance, he was outstanding today.
Yeah, I mean, I think we don't have anything necessarily bad to talk about. Almost you don't talk about him because he fitted in that well. I think he did everything he had to do, and he came up with a huge moment just before Robertson's goal, and I think it was really impressive for me the way that he didn't just kind of react and save the header. It was, he actually pushes it into a safe zone rather than dropping it straight to where the Palace player was. So I think I'm no goalkeeper expert, but I think being a defender, you can kind of appreciate where the goalkeeper, they don't just save it, but they also push it away from the danger zone. So I think for me, I was really impressed with him. His kicking was very good. And I think, you know, he came up with some big saves in some big moments as well.
It looked like he'd been in goal for forever, hadn't it? He was confident. He didn't have a lot to do before the big save Gemma touched on, but that really would have helped his confidence. Crowd went up. And then obviously, you know, we pushes it into a safe place, which is great. Comes out and then we go up the other end and score. It was such it's quite an emotional moment, to be honest. I was really happy for Freddie and was like, well, in Freddie, and then it was like, come on, Robbo, come on, man. And then he scores and we were up, weren't we?
Yeah. Some just finish,
like,
yeah.
Football
yeah.
doesn't half give you some, like, you know, you don't always get them, but they give you some lovely, poignant moments, doesn't it? And I think if anyone on the pitch we wanted to score today or before the end of the season, it's Robbo, isn't it?
And
it
I is. Think also from that, you could see the players go straight to Freddie. Yeah. And it showed the probably connection and how happy, because they realise how valuable he is for the squad. And I think someone like him, he probably doesn't expect any game time, but you need those kind of players within your squad to help the team be successful. And he's got his moment today, and I think that was probably their way of showing that how much he means to them as well.
Yeah, I've got some stats on Freddie Woodman which just underline what you guys are saying. It's the joint most saves, 5 today from him on record by a goalkeeper in their first Premier League start for Liverpool says Sama Mignolet back in August 2013. So you said pre-match it would be natural if there were a few nerves there, Jason, but he did play almost like a Premier League veteran this afternoon.
There's two ways of looking at that stat, to be honest. I mean, we can
I know
be
what
half
you're gonna full, say, but let's...
we can be half empty. Where do we want to go? And then again, I keep saying it, balanced. So you don't want your keeper being that busy, to be honest. But listen, he's been called into action and he's done his job. I mean, that's what he gets paid to do, keep the ball out the back of the net. And he done it with great plaudits today. He had a good game, Freddie. And even that, you know, the injury, he gets out, doesn't he? Smothers the ball, you know, makes a great save there. He gets up, you know, he shows a bit of resilience, a bit of character. You know, it might have been sore his knee, he might have wanted to come off thinking, you know, I've done enough here and, you know, I might go off now. But he wanted to get up and carry on. He was enjoying himself and he made some big saves after that as well, didn't he?
Yeah, and I know it's probably not the great thing that he had so many saves to make, but also you don't know who's going to play next week. So actually him being exposed to this kind of game today, it'll probably give him that extra confidence. I think if he'd have come in and not had much to do, there's maybe still a little bit of nerves if he has to play again next week. Whereas actually he's had a solid performance today, so he can actually take that and build that in going in next week, knowing he's actually done all right.
Yeah. He got his name chanted by the cop. There was also
nice
a chant
touch.
Of England's number one, which was a nice touch as well. I think when we were making our way to our position post-match, he was in front of the cop and obviously getting a huge round of applause from them, a standing ovation. I mean, as Jem said, we don't know when he'll be involved over the next few weeks, but the confidence he can take from today is huge, I would think.
The memory.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. I mean, I don't know, how old is he?
29.
Yeah. You know, it's hard when you're 29 because, I mean, that's still relatively young for a keeper, isn't it? You want to play, but he's decided to come to the football club and he knows his position. It's a very, very difficult position to be in because you're always on the periphery. You know, when the success of the club and you're third choice keeper, you do feel, it's like when you're a sub and you go and win a cup and you don't get on.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, have I played my part? Should I be celebrating? You know, it's like, so Freddie's, there's a lot of that going on in Freddie's house. You know, it's like, and today he gets his moment. And, you know, should we go on to bigger and better things, as in cups and winning leagues? You know, Freddie will feel part of it because he's now, he's played, he is part of it now, and it's great. But the sad thing is, and I said it about Quiveen Kelleher, at this football club, we've got the number one goalkeeper in the world. Mm. I mean, it's so tough to get in.
Can I say as well, you might have seen on social media that Alisson was watching on today and absolutely cheering him on from the sidelines.
Yeah.
It was a
That's
really
class.
Emotional moment. But just in terms of Freddie Woodman and his confidence going into the next few games, Jem, in the dressing room tonight, you can tell he's such a popular player from even the social media posts this week. They were all absolutely made up to see him involved in the Merseyside derby, and they will be even more made up today.
Yeah, I think even at the end there, I think you've seen Robbo pushing him to the cop. He probably realises, I mean, Robbo's been at the club for so long, he knows what Liverpool's about, and I don't think you quite have the success without players like him within the squad. So I think for him to be pushing him towards the cop, he probably realises and appreciates the value that he has in the squad, and he deserves the moment that he's got. And I think you can see, again, how everyone reacted. They were so happy for how well he was.
I room with Tony Warner when I was at Liverpool, by default, but I won't go into that story. And his nickname was Bonus because he never played, but he always picked the bonus up.
Yeah.
And Tony Bonus, his name is. But these guys in a football club are so important. I mean, Tony would stay out when we wanted to do extra shooting because Jamo would go in. You know, they're always there. They know they might not play. And it's such a difficult situation, but they're always upbeat. You know, Tony was a big part of the lads. He'd come out, you know, when we go out or there was events, he'd always be there. He always played his part. He was a big member of the squad, Tony. And still now, everyone's still in touch. And Tony's still in touch with us all. He was such a great character. But, you know, he just didn't play. And then he went on and had a late career, really, because they do get to, like, maybe 32, 33 and probably think, I better do something here because I'm running out of years, but I need to play. So then they go off and they wander off. And Tony had a decent career in the end, but he's such a great lad.
It's a really unique mentality, I guess, you must have to be a third choice keeper, because you spoke about Quive, and obviously he always knew that the League Cup was his competition and he was going to get games. Whereas if you are a third choice keeper, you're probably looking at the whole season thinking, it sounds bizarre, but I might actually never play a game. And, you know, for him to, as Jason said, to have that moment and that memory memory, and hopefully there'll be a few more for him.
Yeah, I think he probably never expected to be in this position if you'd have probably asked him at the start of the season. But I think, again, you have to have the value of those players. I think there's probably a lot of players that maybe start, don't start the next week, or come on for 15, 20 minutes. And I think it's very hard to be that kind of player, but it can almost put it in perspective as well for those players to look at players like him that are coming in every single day, doing the extras, and then not actually seeing any minute on the pitch. And I think it's probably helps the group in terms of, you've got players like him and you can see everyone shows that they want him to do well because of the work they see that he puts in. So I think in terms of having the value in the group and knock-on effect of perspective from those players that are, you know, they're still getting minutes, but you can't quite complain because you've got someone there that's giving everything and not actually getting in the squads.
I remember Bruce Rioch saying to me once, the most important players in a football club are the ones who don't play, because I'll need them one day. You know, and it's so difficult. I mean, even, you know, for first team players who get dropped or were injured when I'm watching from the bench and stuff or from the stands, it's so difficult. But being a third choice, as you just mentioned there, you are actually looking at, like, well, if the keeper gets injured, I'm not even next. It's like, I've got to wait for him to get... And when does that ever happen? Well, it's happened. And Freddie, you've had your moment.
We are glad that he got his moment. Played a big part today, Freddie Woodman, as did Alexander Isak with the first goal. And he's speaking with Peter McDowell right now.
Well, Alex, congratulations. We dug really deep for that as a team.
Yeah. Of course, Crystal Palace is a good competitor, and it's never an easy game. I think we played well today, big parts of the game, and, you know, maybe it shouldn't have had to be like nervy at the end, but I think we played good, and really, really good from the lads as well to manage to get the third.
They've done so well for clean sheets. I think they're only third to the top two teams, so you knew the chances might be few and far between and had to be patient when they come along, really.
Yeah, not for sure. I think Crystal Palace is... one of the most difficult teams to score against and create chances. So I think, I think we showed today that we got the quality, and we just got to keep this form.
Talk us through your goal. Mo did brilliantly for it, didn't he? But it was almost a wayward shot from Alexis McAllister that you managed to get under control. What was going through your mind when that was all going on?
I don't know, but I felt like that shot was not going in. So I kind of intercepted it, it became a good touch, and then managed to put it in the back of the net. So
it feels wonderful, I imagine, for you to score the goal, but first one since the leg break, it feels like a big moment, that, for you.
Yeah, for sure. I've been, you know, battling, getting back to full fitness, and obviously scoring a goal is probably the best way to finding your form again, I'm really happy.
Take us to the other end of the pitch. What a performance from the goalkeeper today. It's so much drama involved in him being here in the first place. He does ever so well at Everton, but to have the moments like he had in this game today was quite surreal.
Yeah, no, I think he did absolutely brilliant. I think it's never easy to come in, especially in a position like him where you kind of had to be ready, but it's not often that you get the chance. So I think, it's really big from him to be able to put on a performance like this, and I think he deserved the clean sheet. Really, really big performance from him.
And bravery as well. It looked as though at one stage he was going to have to come off, and then the fourth choice goalkeeper gets ready to come on. He probably didn't realise there was going to be a moment like that either.
Yeah, I think that's the difficult part of being a goalkeeper, because you never know when the chance is coming, and you always got to be ready. We're really happy for that.
Just finally, feels like a big moment, that, doesn't it? We go up into fourth, very close now between us and Man United in third place, and that step was a big one towards Champions League football next year.
Yeah, for sure. It's still obviously really tight in the table, and everything can happen, but I think we put ourselves in a good position to attack these last couple of games.
Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, Alexander Isak on his third start since he returned from injury. You said, Jace, pre-match you wanted to see more of him. I believe the quote was, "I want him to come to the dance floor this afternoon." Do you feel he did that for you?
He skirted round it tonight. He skirted round it this afternoon. Listen, he got his goal. He took it really well. Striker's instinct. And I said, didn't I want to see him in the box. That's where you want to see your striker. You know, it was a wayward shot from McAllister, but he takes it down. It takes a lovely little bounce up, doesn't he? And his technique was really good. He hit it into the floor and it obviously goes in. And I'd like to see a little bit more. I think, listen, I think we were spoiled of what we've seen at Newcastle, wasn't it? And we've seen it, and we know what he's got, and we know what he can do. He's not quite showing it, but again, he's talking about minutes there and about getting them under the belt and getting up to speed. And, you know, nothing can replicate football mm-hmm. other than playing in games, is it? Yeah. You know, you can play in reserve team games or whatever, you know, games that are organised, and it's never the same. It's never the same. The fitness is done and the sharpness is made actually in real game time. Yeah. And sometimes there's no hiding places, is there? So there's not for him. He's got to get up to speed on this pitch and in first team games, and it can be very difficult, especially when there's a lot of pressure. But listen, he skirted around the dance floor tonight. He dipped his toe in and out. I want to see him leading the line on that dance floor. That's what I want to see, pulling some shapes.
Yeah, for people who missed pretty much, you were mentioning about that. Yes, it was. Just in terms of him as well, though, it's his first Premier League goal at Anfield, at least in a Liverpool shirt, Joe. We've seen a few for the opposition. But how much confidence can he take from that? And obviously, he's got an opportunity these final four games, mm-hmm. as it is now, to really go into the World Cup, which he will want to do so on a good note.
Yeah, I think probably the pressure is off slightly in terms of getting his first goal at Anfield. I think you could probably see the relief, and I think it was also Virgil in the background. You could see he almost fell to his knees, the fact that he's relieved, and it definitely gives you a boost of confidence. I think, like you say, he's got a huge role to play, especially with Ekitike getting injured. Mm-hmm. He knows that he almost needs to stay fit and lead that line. I agree with Jace. I think there's still a lot more to come from him. Again, build up of match fitness, but also the players kind of finding him in those spaces and him connecting to know that, you know, they need me there to combine, especially in that nine position. So I think there probably was times where almost they missed the passes to him and he missed their passes, what they were seeing. So yeah, I think in the next few games, again, like Jay said, nothing beats actually being on the pitch against opposition. So I think it's a good starting point for him, getting his goal at Anfield, and, you know, hopefully he can get a few more before the end of the season.
Yeah, we did speak about that as well pre-match in relation to him, for anyone who wasn't watching them. But he obviously comes from a team in Newcastle that has been orchestrated entirely around him and to feed him, and he's not really had that opportunity to build those relationships yet. So hopefully that can come in the next four games too.
Yeah, I think if we were going to be critical of a whole season for Liverpool, there's been a lack of cohesion, and whether that's personnel or whether that's performance. And that's come by introducing a lot of new players into the team. We've not tinkered one and two. It's actually been four and five players that have dropped in. And it takes time. And, you know, he's missed out on a big chunk of the season by being injured. You know, he's got to come up to speed with a lot of moving parts in this Liverpool team. You know, there's not that many in Newcastle. You know, they're very solid the way they play. They've got an identity, and, you know, he knows his role in the team, and he was the superstar, and, you know, he lived up to that expectation. But here it's completely different. He has got a lot of moving parts. Vert is moving, Gakpo comes inside, Salah, you know, he drops, he goes, he's out wide, he comes inside, you know, he's looking to play 1-2s. You've got to know what he's looking at. You've got to keep eye contact all the time. There's a lot of things going on. And, you know, the thing about Isak is he's a clever player. He's not one-dimensional. He can do a lot of different things. It's just got to, the penny's got to drop with him. And when it does, I think we will see the best of him.
He will benefit, obviously, from a full pre-season with Liverpool, Gem, which he wasn't able to do, of course, last time round. He does have the World Cup as well, which the boss spoke about in his press conference on Friday, and he says he doesn't think it will hinder him. Is it ideal from a Liverpool perspective?
I mean, I think when you go away with international, the clubs are always kind of watching with the hands over the face, wanting the players to come back healthy. That's probably the biggest thing. Of course, you want your players to be on the biggest stage and performing, but I think ultimately Liverpool will know how important he will be for this team moving forward. So they'll obviously want him to go get exposure, but I think in terms of what he's come off the back of, the injury, hoping that he comes back in so they do have time with him to get him up to speed. Because I think you can see today there was moments where he dropped into the central space, played it off, and then he would get in behind. But sometimes he was looking for the early ball, which if you're not used to playing with him, you're maybe not looking for that. So I think he's, once they get to know him more in terms of those are the movements, those are the balls that he's looking for, because like you said, he's a clever player and he's got the physical attributes to beat the defenders. So hopefully he gets some more confidence, though, when he does go back to the Swedish team.
It's difficult relationships with domestic teams, international teams, because they work on different things, don't they? Your national manager will want you on the pitch. your domestic manager will want you wrapped up in cotton wool and possibly not playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then there's that, what you made a great point there, but then there's that exposure, you know, playing on the world stage. You know, if he comes away from the World Cup having scored 12 leading goal scorer,
exactly, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, boom,
you're flying into the new season.
The other thing is as well, it's a bit of familiarity for him.
Yeah.
He knows how Sweden play. He's the main man. So I think almost he'll probably look forward to going back, to just getting back to feeling himself again. So I think that could be a bonus in terms of going back. He's wanted, players know around him how he plays, and then hopefully he could bring that back.
Do you know what? I look at him as well and I think, you know, most centre forwards, there's an arrogance about centre forwards. I think they live off that, and it's like, you know, I can score goals.
A bit of swagger,
and they're in the team to score goals, and they take the headlines, and it comes with the territory. I don't necessarily think he's got that arrogance. I don't think I just think he's a really nice, humble, quite shy person. Mm. I mean, you've seen him around the training ground. I don't think he's a loud character. I don't think he's in your face. I don't think I'm laughing and joking when I see he's dancing on the dance floor. He kind of like, you know, that's where I'd like him to be. I'd like him to be like, you know, I'm here. Like, I'm walking into the room and I'm here. But if that's not him, he's going to have to find a different way to get himself into the arena and show everyone that he's the centre forward and he needs to be. You know, Mo Salah's leaving now. We spoke the other week. And we were talking about, you know, a superstar's left the club. That's vacating a big space at this football club, because we've always had a superstar.
Yep.
You know, you look at Kenny, you know, for me, it would have been Robbie. You know, Michael Owen would have took that for a little bit. And then there's Torres, Suarez. We've always had that superstar. Mo Salah's been here for the last 7 years. There is a space for that. You know, we do need that player. It's great for the club. It's great for everything around the business of the club. Why not, Isak? But he's got to believe it. He's got to believe, I'm the man here. I'm the man, and I'm going to be Keegan Dalglish.
Yep.
You know, I'm going to be that person.
Yeah, the big shoes to fill, Mo Salah's, but maybe he can fill them. Arne Slot will be on his way very shortly, but let's just speak about Mo Salah for a minute, Jem, because he played a really important role in that goal for Alexander Isak. What was not so good was seeing him go off in the second half with what looks early stages like potentially a hamstring problem.
Yeah, I think he knew straight away because he didn't get back up. And it's never nice to see a player, and I mean, you've probably been there when you know in the moment, you know straight away you can't carry on. So it didn't look too good at the time, but you know, we have to hope that there's still time. It almost felt like he knew there was something when he was going off the pitch at the end. Could it have been his last game at Anfield?
Well, that's the fear, isn't it, I suppose?
And we know that he does come back quick from injuries and he recovers and everything, the way he looks after his body. So we do have to hope that it's maybe not as bad as we think. But time is running out, and it was probably a little bit emotional as he was taking his time to get off the pitch. And I think it'll be a huge blow to lose him as well, because there's not many options in the top line before the end of the season.
I mean, it would take wild horses, I think, to keep him off the pitch for that Brentford game, Jason, if that was to be the case, that he wasn't able to make it. But that is the worry, isn't it? It's not, you never like to see a player go down anyway, and he really doesn't go down very often. His injury record is impeccable.
Yeah.
But as soon as that happened, I think the cogs start turning and you think, surely not, this can't be how it ends.
Yeah, I hope not. Listen, it's always difficult, and certainly we shouldn't assume it's a hamstring, but he did go to that area, didn't we? We don't know.
No.
But if that is the case, you know, that kind of finished me, the hamstring. I'm not saying Mo Salah's finished, but it's a difficult injury to get over, because you can think you're back and you're ready, and it's like, it's like it's not quite right, and you think you can get out there, and it's and then it can go again.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a difficult injury to manage. But I certainly hope if it is his hamstring, whatever grade it is, it's a low one, and he can get back from it. He's, you know, he lives his life perfectly, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He gives himself every opportunity to come back from an injury. But I also want to see him at the World Cup. You want to see the best players at the World Cup, don't you? And it'd be such a shame if we lost him to a World Cup. We've lost Hugo Ekitike to it.
Yeah,
he's not going to feature in the World Cup. We've lost him. From our point of view, it's devastating. But I hope Mo's all right. And if it's not, I hope he gets back for the Brentford game, because I want to send him off as much as
everyone else does.
70,000 people, the world. You know,
absolutely.
The fans do.
We can hear from Arne Slot now on Mo Salah and the game in general. He's been speaking with the media in his post-match press conference.
Arne, how do you sum that
up? As one that we haven't had yet. And that's almost impossible, because all the things we've experienced this season, you could write a book about it, as I said earlier. And every time I think, now, okay, no, Now there's nothing that can happen anymore that didn't happen yet. And but we saw it today, a goalkeeper on the floor and then conceding a goal. But the end result is, of course, positive that we were able. In a game where not everything, where we of course concede a goal that you prefer not to concede, you never prefer to concede a goal, but not in this way. But we kept on fighting till the end and even scored a 3-1. So bad luck we've had many times this season. Usually that ends up in us dropping points, but not today. And that's a very positive thing. If you just look at the performance of both teams, I think Palace deserved to come back into the game because they were playing a good game. They were close to scoring goals. The margins were really small. But another injury, of course, after a win. So, yeah, that sums up, again, our season.
How is Mohamed? He looked to be sort of taking his time going off the pitch. Yeah. Is there a chance that might be his last appearance?
Yeah. We don't know. So that's the best answer I can get, because if I say, yeah, there might be a chance, then it's probably all the headline is there might be a chance. So we simply don't know. But what we do know is that the season is in 4 weeks. It's over, I think. Four or five weeks. So not a lot of games are being played. So we have to wait and see how his injury is, if he's able to return to play. What I do know about Mo is that he's taken throughout all these years so good care of his body that he will have the minimum time required to recover from an injury. And let's hope for the best that he's available in the last part.
Alexander Isak's first Premier League goal here at Anfield. So your reaction to that and his performance, and also to have him and Florian scoring together, must have been something you would have liked to have seen earlier.
Yeah, my first reaction would have been, if you wouldn't have said the last part of your question, did anyone ever thought we would say this 8 or 9 months ago, end of April, to say that Alexander Isak scored his first goal for Liverpool at Anfield? That sums up this season, of course, a lot. That an unbelievable striker has had such a long time with injuries, not being available to play, and now scoring his goal. But it's really nice that he scored one, because when we signed him, we knew he could score goals, and that's what he showed today. And many times this season, we've had better chances than we had today. But yeah, that's why it's also too important to have players that can score also goals like this, because that can give you a big lift in a game, and that's what we've missed for 8 or 9 months because he wasn't available. And when he was available, as we all know, he was available but wasn't at the level he can be.
You must have been delighted how Freddie stepped up for you today.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Yeah, I think I've said it many times, telling you guys that we've created a lot of good chances. And then the first one of the other team went in. Now, I cannot say that today, because they've had enough good chances and enough moments that they were really close. But I think the moment of the game was, of course, the lead up to our 2-0, where Freddie made a big save. Otherwise, it would have been 1-1, and 10 seconds later is 2-0. These are the current margins in the Premier League. And today they were on our side, as so many times they haven't been not on our side.
Freddie went down in the second half. What were you expecting the referee to do in that situation? Because it wasn't obviously a head injury.
So. No, but do referee only stop the game for head injuries at this time? Amount of times that players were pretending that they're injured, not only head injuries, and the referees buy into this. It's become a tactic in football. And I've said many times over here, and someone can find one or two moments that we dived, and because we're not, we say this in a certain way in Holland. I don't know how you say it over here, but so we are not known for this. But maybe once or twice this season we've done that. But in general, even today, the referee gave a penalty which was completely correctly overturned by the VAR because there was no contact. Why was there no contact? That's an important question to ask. Mo jumped over the tackle, where I can come up with many players and many examples and many clubs where they leave their foot on the floor and then the tackle comes in and then there's contact, then it's a penalty. I think as a referee, it becomes time that they know who they are refereeing. So this same incident happened to us against Man United, when McAllister was on the floor with a head injury, Michael Oliver, the referee, keep on playing, keep on playing, keep on playing. We couldn't see the goal. Five stitches. And amount of times, even today, that the referee stopped the play. So yeah, you can probably feel with my big frustration about this. It's already for it because people always, hey, you always talk about the Paris Saint-Germain game. Yeah, there was no diving, there was no pretending, there was just fair playing football. And the amount of times that games have been stopped because players pretended to be injured, that has happened so many times that I can't believe if you are refereeing Liverpool and there's a goalkeeper on the floor that you don't stop the game. The only reason I could come up with is that the referee, the moment he saved the ball went to a different position. He looked at that, and the next moment he looks up and he sees that the goalkeeper is on the floor. That would be only fair explanation why he didn't stop the game. Otherwise, I think he should have stopped the game.
To pick you up on that, Oliver Glasner's take is it would be dangerous for football if referees started stopping the game as soon as a goalkeeper goes down. You could make a save go down, and then there's no second.
I know that is going to happen because that's what I constantly see in the Premier League or everywhere around the world. So since we know that the referee can stop the play if there's a head injury, I see a lot of players that have been touched over here taking their head, and then the referee always falls into the trap. But since we are not there yet, there's not been a tactic yet used by making a save, stay on the floor, because I see there's a difficult situation coming up, because the situation wasn't difficult. The ball fell 30, 40 yards out from the goal, I think. So that's not a smart tactic then to go on the floor as a goalkeeper if you don't have an injury, is it? No. And the player that took the shot might say, I wasn't aware of the fact that the goalkeeper was on the floor. But if one of my players tries to take a shot like that, if he thinks there's a goalkeeper in the goal, I would ask him, that's not the smartest ball to play. Maybe you can better cross it in or have a bit of a harder shot on target. So I do agree what he's saying. So if from now on, if a goalkeeper is on the floor, the referee stops the game, I can be 100% sure that there will be teams in the future who are going to use that tactic. I'm sure about that. But today no one has tried that yet. So 10 minutes before, Pino was on the floor. We were going for a counter-attack. Stop. There was a player on the floor. Was no head injury. Was body. And he stopped the play. But another game, another referee decision. Yeah, that is... that's also part of our season, isn't it?
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, the boss, understandably, unable to shed too much light on the Mo Salah situation. Jace, it's obviously very early days. He says it is a possibility. He may have played his last game for Liverpool, but he is going to try and stay positive. We just have to see what the next week or so brings.
I mentioned before, you know, I had three or four hamstrings when I was coming towards the end of my career. And it's funny, like, some of the worst ones, you'd end up having a scan and they wouldn't be as bad as some of the ones you think aren't so bad. You know, you go in and it's like, oh no, you've torn it and you're going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. It's like, didn't even feel that bad. And then I've done others where you're like, you've been shot in the back of the leg and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to be out forever. And then they go on and you go, there's a bit of cramp, a bit of scar tissue, we'll get it out. You'll be back in 2 weeks. And you go, oh, okay. So you just don't know until he gets under, it'll probably be an MRI tomorrow, won't it? You know, they'll have a good look at him. And then they'll plan it now. You know, they're meticulous with the way they do the rehab, what they've got to do, the treatment. And listen, science has moved on from when I played. So, you know, I'm sure there's a lot more chance of him getting back for that last game of the season than probably what I had in the 90s. So so we'll see. But we wish him well.
And, wish him all the best, absolutely.
Yeah. I think the one thing with him, though, I think Mo, we know he's such an icon here, but he's also a massive icon in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And he'll probably have a tough decision now. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll play into his hands of how he wants to manage this situation. Mm-hmm. You know, he could be back for Brentford and you go, okay, what do you want to do? And he might be like, well, I could do it another 2 or 3 weeks here because, you know, yeah. I don't ever need to play in this because I might miss the World Cup. It's such a dilemma.
Yeah, and I also think the nature of how he plays as well, he relies on being explosive.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of hamstrings.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a big decision. It's not as if he can kind of conservatively play his way through a game. I think if he plays, he's 100%.
Yeah.
So it will be a decision, but you know, fingers crossed, he doesn't have to make that one.
Do you want to say goodbye to the crowd and risk it, or do you want to play in the World Cup?
It's
a big decision, but listen, if he's 100% fit and he's got confidence in it, he plays, you know.
Yeah, we wish him all the best with his recovery, Mo Salah, over the next couple of weeks. So we are going to hear from Florian Wirtz very shortly, who got goal number 3 to put the seal on it. But Andy Robertson, the boss, touched on it there. But it was, as you said before, actually really emotional moment, wasn't it, Jem? And what a finish as well.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable finish. I think, you know, we were all up there. I think the whole stadium, everyone was just so happy. I think you could see, and I almost liked the way he kind of started centrally. It was like a centre-forwards run. He kind of took the defender one way and then he went into the space, and obviously the passers played it in. I think he could only put it in one place. I think everyone knew where it was going, and it was that perfect finish into the corner. And you could see how much it meant to him, the fans, everyone.
Yeah, and Curtis Jones deserves some credit for the ball as well, which was nice for him. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm a full-back union, innit? So I'm made up for Robbo. I've got a really soft spot in my heart for him. He's been... Do you know what? Listen, Alan Kennedy, what he did for this football club was phenomenal. And we've had some standout left-backs, but I'm going to throw it out there. Robbo's the best left-back the club's had. I'm going to throw it out there. For me, he's an absolute legend. And you know, like Jem said there about the goal, it wasn't like he got flashed across and he just hit it and everyone went, it's Robbo. It's like he's actually running with the ball and you're actually like, go on in, go on in. And then you could see it opening up and there was only one place he could stick it, as you said. And it was, and that's not easy. No. And he's put it right in the corner. Yeah. He gets his goal and it was like, yes.
Actually made his debut in this fixture in August 2017. Oh, we're speaking pretty much about full circle football moments, crazy, but that is another one, isn't it?
Oh, fair play to him, yeah. And he'll be a loss. Listen, we know what he's done on the pitch, but he'll be a loss in the dressing room as well. He's such a character. He carries himself really well. And do you know what? Like, the media is really a tough area to be in, isn't it? When you lose, you know, it's all right coming out when you're winning. You can say what you want in front of the cameras and and everyone's behind you. But when you're losing, you know, everyone hangs off everything you say, don't you? They analyse everything you say. You know, you've got to say the right thing. If you don't say the right thing, you're going to get criticism. He never shakes away from that responsibility. Yeah. And sometimes you feel, you know, some of the players might get asked and they go, oh, I'm Robbo, I'll do it for you. Yeah. And he gets out there and he does it and he puts himself out there to be shot down. And he's the true professional. I love him to bits.
I think everyone would second that. We're going to hear from the goal scorer for goal number 3 very shortly, Florian Wirtz. But let's speak about that, Jem, because it obviously just made the point safe, which was the main thing. But it was a decent finish. He hammers it, doesn't he, on the angle?
Yeah, I think, the angle from the TV shot, I think the technique is unbelievable. I think everyone knows technically how good a player he is. We would all like to see it a lot more in terms of those kind of finishes, but I think naturally the way he came onto the ball, I don't think any goalkeeper is saving that. But I think, again, another late goal for Liverpool. I think it's become a habit of scoring in the last later stages of the game, but it definitely kind of settled it. And it was probably important for him as well. You know, we speak about Isak scoring, the pressure's been on Wirtz as well. So I think for him to get that goal and to finish the game, I think they'll have probably been a little bit more relieved and gives them confidence going to next week.
Because he's such a technical player, Wirtz. We look at him with the ball, and if he doesn't do it with the ball, we can be quite critical. Yeah. And I think sometimes you've got to be careful there, because he does a lot of running off the ball, Wirtz. And it's not necessarily, you know, it'll be closing down or just shutting angles off. You know, you've got to watch him in the complete, really, to give him a good analysis of him. You know, because today it would be easy to be critical because he wasn't as influenced as he should have been on the ball. He was a bit sloppy at times. Jem's right, there's not a lot of players on that pitch who could have scored that goal because he's technically, you know, one of the best out there. But, you know, as a player with the ball today, slightly frustrating for me. But Offie, thought he'd done a lot of hard yards.
I think when a player's got that much technical ability, everyone always expects from them. And I think their level every week is probably other people's top level. So I think they almost get a little bit more criticism because you know what they're capable of.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he'll do so many things that will take players out the game, but he does it so naturally that you think, that's just him. That was just simple, because he makes it look simple.
But the bar's set higher for him, basically.
Everyone knows how capable he is, that you want him more influential in those positions. So I think you know, it's hard when you're that good. I wouldn't know. But when you're in that position, the expectation is, even from the players, you're kind of waiting, go on, do something.
Okay, he's mesmerising to watch sometimes, isn't he? We're speaking about him. Let's hear from him now. Here is Florian Wirtz with Pete.
Flo, well done. It was a massive 3 points that this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you. I think we needed this 3 points, especially at home. So, yeah, really happy that we keep them here. Yeah.
You'll be really happy for Alexander Isak as well. You know the struggle he's been through. His first goal since he broke his leg. It will feel like a monumental day for him, that, I think, with the World Cup ahead as well.
Yeah, especially as a striker, it's always important to score goals. So, yeah, I'm happy for him. I hope it's the start of many. So, yeah, let's keep going like this.
You knew it was going to be tough against Crystal Palace today. They're a bit of a bogey team. We've not beaten them here since 2021. So what was the game plan before? What did you have to be careful of, and how ruthless did we have to be on the day?
Yeah, of course, we knew before the game what was coming with them, because we faced them already three times before, I think. So, yeah, we knew they play a lot of balls in behind. Take not too much risk, just looking for deep runs. Yeah. So, I think we defended it quite well. Of course, they had a few chances, but, it's always difficult to keep them too far away from the goal. So, I think we did good with the whole team. Everyone defended good. And, then we knew also that we have the quality to create our own chances, and today there were I think some more good chances. Also, I had the chance one time to play to Alex, in the end 3-1 is okay.
Is there a feeling with Alex as well, because he is so ruthless as a striker, that we continue to build these relationships, that next season you're going to see the best from him?
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's also important for him that we feed him with balls, because if he's just there on top alone, then it's hard for him to score goals. I think he needs the balls to score them, and as you could see today, if he gets the chance, he normally scores.
When it goes to 2-1, it obviously gets nervy then, because we've seen drama this season, but then you settle it with a wonderful goal. There's a wonderful angle from you as well. As soon as you connect, you're off on your way to the celebration. You knew, presumably, it was going to end up where it did.
Yeah, first of all, I knew that Joey will throw the ball over me, so I just had in my mind to go behind the ball, and then a good pass from Maka, and then I had to take the risk to just hit it on target, and I hit it quite well, so I'm happy about that.
Is it just the feeling you get, the Christmas you connect the ball with, that you know that it's going to end up in the goal?
Sometimes you can feel it, that there's a good strike.
In terms of the overall picture, Champions League is what we want to play in next season. It feels like a massive day for that as well, doesn't it, that we go into fourth and level on points with third now. It requires a really strong finish to the season.
I've not seen the table yet, but and after the interview I will check it, but I think massive 3 points today. Was clear for us that this game today is really important for the qualification for the Champions League. It's not done yet. So we have a few more games, but a good step today.
Lastly, mention for the goalkeeper, how big a day was it for Freddie Woodman?
Yeah, he was unbelievable today. I think he had two or three top savers. I'm really happy for him. He's such a good guy, and unlucky with the goal we conceded. I don't want to speak too much about that, but he saved us the points, so, of course.
Well done, mate. Top man. Thank you.
Oh, Florian Wirtz says he's not seen the top of the Premier League table yet. This is how it looks if you haven't seen it yourself. Liverpool are up to fourth this evening thanks to Aston Villa's defeat to Fulham earlier on in the day. So, Jace, that means Old Trafford next weekend, they can all but secure Champions League football for next season. That would be a nice venue to do that in, would it not?
Absolutely, it'll be talk of the week, won't it? That, you know, Liverpool can qualify and cement it, but I think the gap is sufficient now, certainly for fifth place. But I think it's a little bit of pressure off. I know what you're saying, they can secure it and go there and do it, but I don't think they'll go into it thinking that. It's such a big fixture, a standalone fixture. But just the fact that, you know, they can go there now with this little buffer that they've got between sixth, they can chase them down. You know, I think today's win will give them confidence going to that game, albeit it wasn't a great performance. But these games, they bring the best out of players, you know, and we've seen Liverpool this season plenty of times, the likes of Madrid, Atletico, you know, really turn up and put on some good performances. Hopefully it goes that way for us.
Yeah, United are in action on Monday night, Gem. They're playing Brentford, but obviously triumphed here back in October, so it feels like a bit of payback would be quite nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think I'm interested to see how Liverpool approach the game. I think now Jay said the pressure's maybe off a little bit, so you know you don't have to go there and necessarily fully get the 3 points, but you almost want to. So I think it will be interesting in terms of how they go about the game. They've definitely, it's very close, the goal difference is still the same. But like I said before, the players that Liverpool have got, they're going to go and want to beat United at Old Trafford and secure it.
I think what was interesting today, when, I can't remember which substitution was, it was late on, we actually went to a three at the back. You know, I understand why we did that at Paris, in Paris. Maybe it's a stifling, you know, the onslaught of the attacking prowess of Paris. But today, I don't know whether he was just trying something there or whether it was just because we had to, because of the personnel. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Personnel-wise, what would you be tempted to do with this one? That there will probably be a change, at least with Mo, you would think, Jem?
I think probably going straight in with Jeremy is the most straightforward swap. And, you know, you don't change the consistent back line.
That is it from this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back again on Sunday, the 3rd of May, with analysis and interviews from Old Trafford after Liverpool face Manchester United. If you haven't already, do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss any episodes when they drop.
Hi, it's Neil Mellor here. If you want real insight after every match day, join me for The Review Show on LFC TV and All Red Video. This is the only place where you'll get a proper deep dive, detailed analysis of the goals, the turning points, the tactics, and the performances that shaped the game. We break down the numbers, we highlight the patterns, and bring you the kind of expert understanding you won't find anywhere else. And we'll throw in a few lighter moments along the way. We're usually available from 6 p.m. on Mondays, but do check the listings for details.